Father, we come to you this morning, thanking you again for your goodness, for your mercy, for the greatness of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you take your word, you take it home to our hearts, you'd make it powerful and real, and that Jesus Christ would become an ever-growing reality in our lives personally. And then, Lord, that you'd enable us by your grace, by your Spirit, to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus right in our own homes and to the ends of the earth. Please help us. Please meet with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The message I have for this morning flows out of memory verses that I had memorized years ago, but if you have the same problem I have, maybe you don't, but if you don't re-memorize the memory verses, there's a great tendency to forget good parts of them. There are certain truths in the memory verses that you never know when are going to come up and are useful. But then again, if you have to re-memorize something you've memorized before, usually it'll come back a little bit quicker. But beyond that, certain new things will hit your heart and mind, and that so that you'll begin to meditate on those things. And that was the case with Philippians chapter 1, I was going through that, and there, the one phrase here in Philippians chapter 1 that caught my attention was the phrase that we find in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. And he said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now, you'll notice that I'm reciting this out of King James, and that's because that's the way I memorized it years ago.
Amen.
And, okay, brother. I'm going to half agree with you this morning. But anyway, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And the thing that grabbed my attention was magnified in my body by life or by death. So I got my memory verses that I was memorizing, and I thought I had my notes, but my notes are home. So all I have is my memory verse. But God's word is the thing here, and the key thing here that I'm hoping God will press upon my heart in a greater way and on yours is the necessity that Jesus Christ is magnified in our bodies, whether it be our life, by life, or by death. Now, if you go to the ESV, it talks about being honored. Well, that's true. That's true. It says in verse 20, as it is my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be ashamed with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and die is gain. Well, I had memorized that magnified Christ, and that kind of stirred my mind to be pondering what does this really mean to magnify Christ? Obviously, you can't make Christ bigger than he is. He is the biggest and the greatest. And what I found very interesting is when I went back to check that original word in Strong's Concordance, he noted there that this word right here, as we find it in Philippians chapter 1, only is used one time. But the root of the word is used 195 times. So what is the word? It's something like megalou or something, but the root of the word is megas. And we can all identify what the word mega means. And if you look at the King James, it's translated 150 times. Out of the 195 times, it's translated as great or exceedingly great. And so the thing that I'm challenged with in my life, and I want us to be challenged with, is that our life in this body is to display the greatness, the exceeding greatness of Jesus Christ. And that was Paul's great desire. That was Paul's great burden, that he would finish the race with Jesus Christ being displayed in his greatness, showing forth the greatness of Jesus Christ, magnifying, making Jesus Christ known by the way he lived or by the way he died in the fullness of his greatness. And that is what I need. That's what and he was praying. Yes, he was praying to the brethren, the Philippian brethren, pray for me, you know, that I would be delivered from doubts, from failures, that you would give me the boldness, as always, now also, to proclaim Christ without fear. We need, brethren, to be praying for one another that God would give us everything we need so that we could proclaim the excellencies of Christ, that we could extol, magnify the greatness of Christ. Now, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, first of all, the greatness of Jesus Christ has to be a reality in our life, personally. The personal reality of the greatness of Jesus Christ. That's first of all. And it was first of all for Paul. I mean, up to the day the Lord saved him, up to the day the Lord stopped him on that road to Damascus, Jesus Christ was the farthest thing from the greatest of all. Jesus Christ was the greatest obstacle for Paul. But then suddenly he came face to face with Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus, and he suddenly saw the greatness of Jesus Christ in his holiness, and he saw the greatness of Jesus Christ in what he deserved as a sinner, but he saw the greatness of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the greatest of sinners, all at once, all in a few moments together. Suddenly, Paul's life was changed. And we could say, well, probably none of us here have had a conversion experience like Paul's, but the essence of what happened is the same. He saw the greatness of Jesus Christ, and he had never seen Jesus Christ as great before. And now he sees the magnified magnificence of Jesus Christ in his holiness, in his justice, but also in his mercy. Here he's face to face with the very one who died on the cross to save the greatest of sinners. Now, Paul was a changed man. And every one of us who have been saved by the grace of God are changed people. We have a new life. Jesus very clearly declares to us that it's like a treasure hid in a field, or it's a pearl of great price. We're seeing a value, the exceedingly great value of Jesus Christ in a new way that we never saw before. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a miracle worker. Jesus is not just one who can give us special benefits when we're in the middle of trials. He's not just somebody who can make our lives more comfortable here on earth. No, we see Jesus in a brand new light. And we see Jesus, even at the very beginning when God saves us, we see Jesus is more valuable than everything else. Otherwise, everything else was the greatest in our life. Before the Lord saved me 48 years ago, money and possessions were the greatest thing in my life. There would be no question about that. Money and possessions. And I did marry my wife then, a year before the Lord saved me, and she would probably attest to that, that she wasn't quite so sure how much I really loved her. I loved her for the benefits she could provide for me, yes. But when my eyes were opened, then things began to change, and new directions and new things of importance began to change my life and the direction of my life and what has importance. And of course, the greatness of Jesus Christ is the very thing that produces the changes in our life, that produced the changes in Paul's life, but also have produced the changes in your life. And if Jesus has not become precious to you, then you're never going to be able to overcome the obstacles that absolutely are going to follow. You can have seed planted on stony ground. You can have seed planted on thorny ground. But it will not bear fruit because other things are more important. Other things are more valuable. But when we're born again, when God gives us eyes to see, when God opens our blind eyes, then we begin to see the preciousness of Jesus Christ. So the greatness of Jesus Christ begins with our eyes being opened and seeing the reality of Jesus Christ personally. But that's just the beginning, because this knowledge of Jesus Christ is also a growing thing. And then we begin to realize that the older we get, well, Jesus isn't more precious than he ever was before. He is altogether precious. He's altogether valuable. But in what we see, he becomes exceedingly more precious to us. What did I see 48 years ago? How little did I see of his greatness? How much more I see now? But then Paul says, I haven't attained yet. What's my great desire? My great desire is that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, that I might know him in his sufferings, that I might know him even in the way I die. Paul understood with everything he saw of Jesus, lifted up into the third heavens. If you were going to sit down with Paul, he'd never be done telling you about the greatness of Jesus Christ. And yet here he is telling us, yeah, he wants more. My brother, isn't it that way? Isn't that true? If you see something as exceedingly precious, then you want more. And that's what stirs us on. That's how the Spirit works in our lives. And when we wander away, he draws us back. Why? Because we become starved with what the world can give us. And the Spirit of God draws us back and gets our hearts and minds focused on the treasure, Jesus Christ, till our hearts once again find a joy and a peace and an encouragement and a comfort and a hope. Now, I read about Paul, and I think, Paul, he was so much farther along than we are. He could actually say, you know, as he asked those Philippian brothers, keep praying for me, because I don't have this kind of knowledge of Jesus, and I don't have the boldness to proclaim him. I don't have this in my own hands and in my own strength. You please keep praying that God is going to give me that boldness. But then he says, as always, so now also. Wow. Paul had a history. He could look back over his life and he could say, there he was put to the trial and God intervened. Again and again and again in his life, he was pressed to a place where he could not do what needed to be done to glorify, magnify Jesus Christ, and God gave him, by the power of His Spirit, the ability to do so. Oh, brethren, we're so often thinking, oh, I don't have the power to do that. Well, it's true we don't have the power to do that. That's Paul. He was a super Christian and a super missionary, and he had all this ability. No, brethren, he didn't have any ability that would magnify Christ unless it was produced within him by the Spirit of God. We're in the same place. And we cannot live on yesterday's grace. We need new grace. And we need new knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or he's going to grow stale. It's going to grow old. No, Peter said, grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. At the end of all of everything you can say, Peter, is that all you're going to say? Yeah. Yes, grow in your knowledge of Jesus and grow in the grace that comes together with a growing knowledge of Jesus. Because unless Christ is living in us, yes, we've been crucified with Christ, but unless we are living in the flesh and it's not I, but Christ living in me, we have no life that will glorify, that will exalt, that will magnify Jesus Christ. And that's why the very next verse here, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because he understood that there is no life outside of Christ living in him. I can't tell you how many times we keep saying to each other, Judy and I, well, did you pray about that? No, I did. I forgot to pray. Over the simplest things. How is Christ going to be magnified if we're trying still to do so many things in our own strength? And then we wonder why we fail. We wonder why we're weak. Oh, brethren. But it's still a glorious thing. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ loves us. And he keeps bringing... See every time the Word of God, every time God... you know, really puts his finger on the fact that we haven't been looking to him. We haven't made Jesus the center of our life. We're stirred to do it again. And that brings us new, fresh hope and courage. And it really is a wonderful life. And we really does get better because we're seeing gradually more and more, not only of who Jesus is and how he works in our lives today, but we're seeing more clearly the end of the race. And Paul was very concerned about this. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. See, Paul could live out his life win-win every which way. If we're united to Christ, everything is win-win. That was a personal experience. This was a personal reality for Paul. The greatness of Jesus Christ was a personal reality, but it was a growing reality in his life. And it must be a growing reality in our life. And it can be a growing reality in our life. Even with all of our failures, even with all of our shortcomings, God keeps using our failings to show us how helpless we are. But then at the same time, it's making Christ greater. It's making him more precious. The very fact that he will receive us again and we can come to him and he's going to show us mercy exalts his greatness in our hearts. It encourages us to press forward. Now, not only was Paul seeing that the greatness of Jesus Christ was this personal reality and relationship within him, not only this reality that would be growing, but this is a reality that must be communicated. And Paul was very concerned about what would be communicated by his life. What would be communicated? God hasn't just saved us to go off into a monastery somewhere and grow in the knowledge of Christ and be of no use to anybody else. No, absolutely not. God has given us this knowledge of the preciousness of Christ so that we may magnify Him in the middle of a dark world, so that the world around us may see and come to know the greatness of Jesus Christ. How are they going to come to know the greatness of Jesus Christ? God has chosen us. Chosen Paul, yes. But He's chosen us as well, that we should go. That we should go into all the world. That we should preach the gospel. As we use as an example so often. No, we're not all Pauls. But if God has saved us, we know something of the greatness of Jesus Christ. And as the demoniac could go and tell the great things that Jesus had done for him, we're going to be able to start with that very message. Jesus did something great for me. He is great because of who He is and what He's done, because of His person, because of His work, the greatness of Jesus Christ for the newest of Christians. And sometimes we see that a brand new Christian with all the thrill and zeal and joy can even be more effective than those who have been saved for many, many years. If the focus is the greatness of Jesus Christ. If the focus is magnifying Jesus Christ, that's the key issue. People say, you know, well, we need very skilled people on the mission field, and we need people with talents like Paul's, and that's wonderful. Let's pray for that. But if we can have people going, not only staying in our own homes, magnifying the greatness of Jesus Christ, but if we have people who are really focused on magnifying Christ with their bodies, then they'll be useful anywhere in the world, anywhere where God will send them. The issue is that our heart? That's now the question. Is that our heart to magnify Jesus Christ in our bodies? Now, we know that's the right answer. And that reminds me of a young man in India first. Now he's in Nepal. Some of you would know him if I tell you his name. But we were having a Bible study, a devotional in the morning. This was back in India. And we were talking about a message that John Piper had preached called Holy Ambition. Some of you maybe have listened to it. And I said to him, well, what's your holy ambition in life? And he chuckled a little bit. He knew he was going to give me the wrong answer. But he said, to marry this woman over here, that's my holy ambition. He knew that was the wrong answer. But it was an honest answer. I can't tell you how many times talking to him, we go back to that very point, and he will so fully said how wrong that was, to give that answer. No, that's not to be our holy ambition. Our holy ambition must be to magnify Jesus Christ in our bodies in whatever way and with whatever gifts and whatever grace He's going to give each one of us. It must be Christ-centered, or it's failure for all of us. Well, there's many ways in which the excellencies, the greatness of Jesus Christ can be made known. And man, we need to pray for that. Because so many times we're looking at the gifts and abilities God's given other people. And I don't think we're earnestly just praying, Lord, how can I magnify Christ today? How can I magnify Christ with my life? And what should my holy ambition be? That was Piper's point in that message. A young person should have an ambition. A young person should be thinking, well, what are the possible ways that my life can be used to glorify God? Yes, We know that from the Catechism, to glorify God and enjoy Him together, and that to enjoy Him forever. That's the same thing as saying, magnify the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. Well, how? What ambition? What direction? I know you're going to say, I always come back to missions, but that might be somewhat true. But no, I'm not wanting to say everybody should go to a mission field, but absolutely we need to continually remind ourselves that we need to have our focus on magnifying Jesus Christ. So often we get derailed in our thinking, and what's being magnified? What people think of me? What people think of what I'm saying? What people think of what I'm doing? We want people to appreciate us. We want people to exalt us. Oh, brethren, that's sickening. That's going to go right down the drain and make us the most miserable people in the world. Do we want to have a life filled with joy and peace and fruitfulness? Our life needs to stay focused. Stay focused on exalting and magnifying Jesus Christ. And we're going to have to keep our eyes fixed on Him. We're never going to do this ourselves. We need the prayers of one another. We need a closer walk with Him. We must be yoked to Him. We must abide in Him. He must live in us, or we're going to waste away our lives. Well, Paul wanted the brethren particularly to pray for him, because he was facing some really severe trials in his life. Some of us may be facing some really severe trials in our life, but he was facing the very reality that his next meeting with the government might cost him his life. But that was settled for him. Whether I live or whether I die, that was a settled issue for him. But brethren, we need to pray for one another, that God would give us the same kind, in a growing way, the same kind of boldness, the same kind of peace, the same kind of hope. And we can't let ourselves get distracted. Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on Him, who for the joy that was set before Him, not only endured the cross, He despised the shame, He wasn't concerned about how people were going to mock Him. No, he was concerned about how he would glorify God, how he would finish the race in a way that would bring the greatest exaltation to God. Brethren, we can help each other. We can encourage each other in this. Well, I don't have any notes. May God enable us to magnify Jesus Christ in our bodies. That was my last point. Yeah. Paul said, magnify Christ in His body. Yeah, you see, we think of magnifying Christ with exceptional gifts, and I don't know what we think, but Paul had a body just like ours. It was a human body that the Bible calls the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our human bodies are no secondary, unimportant thing. God has given each one of us a human body. And God intends for us to use this human body in a way that's going to magnify Christ. Think about that. No, our human temple of the Holy Spirit, He's given it to us, and He's promised to supply us with the grace needed so that with these human bodies of flesh, we can magnify Jesus Christ in our lives here and in our death. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Father, we do thank You. Father, please, I thank You. You do forgive us. So often we get focused on secondary things. We magnify other things rather than Christ. We magnify our differences. We magnify things that shouldn't have the value and preeminence in our life. Father, would you help us just not just individually, but as a church, that we would have this one driving passion to magnify Jesus Christ? Would you help us to help each other? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.